Good morning. Our scripture reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 24 to 27. When they reached Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes, he does." And when he came home, Jesus spoke of it first, asking, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tribute? From their children or from others?" When Peter said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the children are free. However, so that we do not give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook. Take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a coin. Take that and give it to them for you and me." Bless the reading of the word. Thank you.
That's a great story, don't you think? As someone who likes to be out on the water, pretty amazing. Told you that when I was in Cuba, that half the boat were not divers. They were fishermen, really. They were all men. Well, that's not true. There were a few women. They were bone fishing, fish that are good size, and they struggle and fight, so they're hard to catch. But some of the fish, it's interesting, they have quite a big jaw. And if a coin dropped in their mouth, they wouldn't be able to dislodge it. It would just sit there. And I'm sure this fish that Peter helped out was quite grateful that this coin was taken from its mouth. So. Anyway, interesting story. So we're looking at the theme of the journey of a disciple, and it's through the eyes of Peter. So we just have a few more weeks on this series. So what was Peter's journey like in terms of getting to know Jesus, growing in faith? All pretty new. And what is our journey like? And what has this story got to teach us? So the big idea I want us to think about, because I think this is really what the whole story is about, is how do we view ourselves? How do we see ourselves in light of our relationship with God? So, you know, you might be here and you don't even know if there is a God. That's lots of people can have that position. So what is your position? You know, here you are in the universe. Here you are on planet Earth. And what is my response to the whole out there, right? The whole out there. Remember the Captain Kirk figure was up in space recently, the actor, and he found it just completely incredible to just be out there in this vast void. Here we are in the shelter of the blue planet. You just go up 100 miles, and then you are in the vastness. And he found it completely overwhelming, started weeping. When he got back to Earth, he was weeping because it was just like, wow. In spite of him being a Star Trek character all those years, when the reality hit him, it was another thing. So what is my position before God? Before that, what is yours? That is the big question in this story. Are we children of God? Loved by God, esteemed by God, welcomed by God, are we that? Or are we vassals? Are we just a name on a paper, a number? No importance. So how do we live our lives? How do we live our lives? Children of the King, loved by God in Christ, or maybe rejected forgotten? That's the big question. With that in mind, we looked at this story. It's only found in Matthew, not found in the other Gospels. Interesting that it is concerned about paying taxes, and we know that Matthew was a tax collector. So maybe because of that, he heard the story and thought, man, I'm going to include that story. The other writers, Mark and Luke, the synoptics, John, the others, they don't include it. But Matthew includes it. And it has the feeling of an eyewitness story, meaning Peter was the one Jesus was talking to. He was the one who circulated this story. So he was there. He knows all about it. And the background was every male Jew, 20 years or older, had to pay a half shekel tax every year. And a half shekel tax actually was a pretty big tax. It was 2 days' worth of work. So it's you going out there and working for 2 whole days, and that is the amount that was given to the temple for the maintenance of the temple. And like any other tax, it would not be particularly popular. People did not want to pay this temple tax. But it was in the law. We'll see that later. And people were to pay it. Not everybody did, but people were invited to pay it. So it's a story that would have connected with everybody, because if you were a guy, you had to pay that tax. So Jesus had to pay it. Peter had to pay it. All the disciples had to pay it. So the text reads, when they reached Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? It actually reads more like, your teacher does really pay the temple tax, doesn't he? It has a positive sense to it. The anticipation is, doesn't he pay that? And Peter doesn't know if he does or not, and he just says, yes, he does. Yes, he does. He pays it. Very firm. That's what he does. And when he came home, Jesus spoke of it first, asking, what do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tribute? From their children or from others? And when Peter said, from others, Jesus said to him, then the children are free. So what's going on here? So Peter is the one they ask. So Peter obviously had the presentation that he was the leader of the disciples. He was this big guy, and the temple tax collectors come to Peter. Why didn't they go to Jesus himself? But maybe Jesus, he was this famous guy, and they weren't going to confront him, but they go to Peter and ask. It's their job. They're asking, does your teacher pay the temple tax? And Peter goes back to talk to Jesus about that, right? So you note, he's not really sure. He says yes. But he's going back, and the intention is, I'm going to talk to Jesus about this and just make sure. But Jesus raises it first. So we're told in the Gospels that Jesus knows what's going on in the hearts and minds of others. He knows what's happening out there. He has a sense that this has already happened. And he says to him, Peter, what do you think, Simon? Interesting there that he uses the name Simon. Very unusual. That's Peter's name, Simon. Peter is the given name. Peter means rock. You're the rock. But here there's intimacy in this. So Jesus didn't always call Peter the rock. He called him Simon. That's his name. And he says, what do you think, Simon? And what's interesting about that is that it's used the very same language, what do you think, when Jesus is going to tell a parable. So it's like here, Jesus is introducing a parable. What do you think, Simon? Because we know it. If you look at Matthew 18:12, it is a parable, the parable of the 100 sheep, and one goes off and is lost. It's introduced just this way. What do you think? Jesus says to the crowds. So it's a true story, but it has this sense of a parable about it as well. What do you think? And the question is, well, do kings tax their own family? Or do kings tax the citizens? Does Caesar tax his own family? Most likely not. Caesar taxes the others. And so Jesus asks that, and Peter's answer is, well, no, the king doesn't tax his own family. He taxes others. And then Jesus' response to that is, well, then, we are children of the king, so if that's the case, we don't have to pay the tax because we're related to the family. So don't worry about it. We don't have to pay. See, that's the answer. And here's the text in John 8:36. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. We just sang that song. That's why we sang it. Because the Son makes us free. How do you view yourself? Do I view myself as a child of the King? A child of God? Whatever language you want. A friend of Jesus? Chosen, we sang? Do I see myself that way? Loved, welcomed, esteemed? God knows you, me, he knows your name. You are important. Or am I just a number? How do you view yourself? Are we free or not? Are we loved by God or not? And, you know, it's easy to answer that. I mean, you can sit here in a pew and say, well, theologically, I know that, you know, Jesus loves me and I'm a child of the King. We can say that. But do we live that way? That's another issue. Do you claim that reality day by day in your day? Jesus is my Lord. God is my King. I'm a child of God, a son, a daughter of God. Do I see myself that way? Do you see yourself that way? Because if we do, that changes everything. In spite of all the hassles that are out there, we are children of our Heavenly Father. We are loved. And the big answer to your life is a big yes, not a no. If you are a child, then you're free. So I think that's, you know, that's really cool, right? The world of taxation is a burden, but God is not a burden, right? He's not meant to be a burden. If God is your big burden, then it's because you're making him your burden. Our very existence is because God has worked in us. The gift of our lives. I mean, what, you know, what did you do? You didn't do anything. I didn't do anything to deserve the fact that we are here. You could not be here. Meaning exist. Our existence is a gift of God, period. That's it. All gift. We'll see that. So we are children of our Heavenly Father. We do not have to pay the tax. Jesus says in another place, Sermon on the Mount, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So, you know, God is on our side. You know, so can we walk the streets of Weston up and down, live here, and feel that God is on my side? He smiles when he thinks of you. Jesus says, what do you think, Simon? You can speak your name. What do you think? What do you think, Courtney? Yeah. What do you think, Amber? You go on and on, right? Am I a child of God or not? However, point two, so that we do not give offense to them, go to the lake, Sea of Galilee, and cast a hook. And take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, You will find a coin, take that and give it to them for you and me. So Jesus introduces the second point, not to give offense. Matthew uses this word here when it says give offense in the NRSV. It's actually stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't be a scandalon to others. He uses it like 20 times in this gospel. So don't cause others to trip up. Don't give offense. These guys are just doing their job. They're collecting taxes. They got to do it. So are you going to pay it or not? If you say, hey, I'm a child of the king, I don't have to pay it, they're probably not going to understand that. You're just trying to weasel your way out of paying the tax. So the point is, okay, Jesus says, go fishing. You're going to get a coin. Go and pay it. I was in Newfoundland one time, and we were supposed to go out. What were we supposed to be doing? We were supposed to be going out looking for whales. I was with a friend of mine from the seminary. And there were no whales in the area that day. So the guy says, because he's charged us money, $100 to go out there and do this, that, well, we're going to go fishing then instead. And the fishing they do is cod fishing. And in cod fishing, you do it with hooks. Just put a line down and you hook. Put it down and hook. You jig it. And no kidding, we jigged for like 2 minutes and we caught about 3 fish. Put the line down, hook, up comes a big fish. A cod. Puts it here, does it again, you do it. All right, down, up. So in spite of what you hear, let me tell you, there are lots of fish down there, all right? There may not be as many as there used to be, but there are still plenty. Go and fish. Usually they're catching fish with nets. Here, it's a fish. Go catch a fish. Single line fishing. So the point is, we're not obliged to pay, but sometimes we can choose to pay. There are things where we have the freedom to say no, or we have the freedom to act. But we may not. For the benefit of others, we might decide, no, I won't do that. I have the right, but I won't do it. So Jesus says in this point, we'll pay the tax. I think Jesus, loved the temple, actually. The actual temple he loved. He had a long history with the temple. His family went up to this structure in Jerusalem every year, several times. The old story of Jesus when he's 12 years old, sitting at the feet of the scribes and Pharisees, and he's answering all their questions. I think Jesus liked the place. And so, there's a respect. Sure, we'll pay it. We don't have to pay it, but the place needs to be maintained. We'll do our part. We'll pay it. So the question for you and for me, well, here's a verse from Corinthians, but take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block, scandalon, to the weak. The issue is there, is can we eat meat that was given to the idols? In the city of Corinth, lots and lots of temples, offerings were made. Can we then go to the market and buy that meat and eat it because it would be a bit cheaper? Can we do that? Paul says you can do that. Sure, you can do that. But we don't want to be a scandal onto others. If it's going to trip your brothers up, your sisters up, then don't do it. So that's a fairly mature response, right, to act that way. That's where Jesus was at, and that's who he was like. Jesus was very mature, and he was able to say, well, no, we have the right, but we won't do it. There we go. It can become a form of legalism, demanding our rights all the time. So the story then, Peter goes fishing, pays the price, all right? The whole thing then, thirdly, can become like a metaphor for the Christian life, and this is where I want to sit. God is not a giant tax collector, okay? He's not out there wanting to take everything from you. Everything is gift And then our response is to give out of gratitude, whatever it might be. We just took up the offering. You know, the offering is not your dues, right? It's not your church dues. I've had people over the years, and they don't want to become a member because they think, well, if I become a member, I'm going to have to pay my church dues. So I don't want to do that. But the offering is not church dues, right? The offering is money that goes for the work of the Lord in the community, in this neighborhood. It's not dues. And you give out of a grateful heart. That's the invitation. No one's forcing you to give anything. But does God bless us? And if he does, well, then our response is to share what we have. That's the idea. And it doesn't just come to money. It's our whole lives. Can I live with gratitude? Can I be grateful? Can I say I'm a child of the King and I am blessed, so then I will do my part for him? That's just the invitation. It's all gift. Down in Prince Edward County, there's lots of farming that goes on. The farmers, you know, do all their work. But finally, the crop is all gift, right? The farmers can do everything. Will the crop grow? That's gift. You might know a ton, be a great farmer, but you can't force the crop to grow. That's just the way it is. So can we be grateful? In spite of the challenges we face, in spite of the illnesses we have, in spite of the losses we experience, life is really one whole series of losses, don't you think? There's always a sense of loss, some sense. Big loss, little loss, health concerns. You get older, things you used to do, you can't do as much as you used to do. A little bit of a loss. But can we be grateful in the midst of all of that? Grateful hearts. Express it in money, in time, in mercy, patience, works, service, whatever it is. Grateful. So do we see ourselves? How do we see ourselves? If we go to thinking like, I've earned this, I've deserved this, then I think we're missing the mark. Everything is still finally gift. Even the big job you might get someday, it's gift, man. There's lots of talented people out there. Gift, a salary, gift. Talking to a tutor in Bolivia this week, and inflation is very high down there. Everything's run by the American dollar, even though America's not a friend, and there are very few of them around. So American dollars. Yvonne is telling me, man, when you guys come down in November, bring American dollars, because I can get you in a crazy exchange rate on the street. At the bank, they'll give you one thing, but on the street, I can get you way more. But they want American dollars, not Canadian dollars, American dollars. Tudor was saying, you know, they have an expression, techo. Techo is your roof. Do I have a roof? Do I have a place that I can live? Is there somewhere with a roof for me? She says, that's the main thing for Bolivians. Is there a roof for me? Is there a place that is my home? As simple as it might be. That's what everybody wants. But not everybody has it. If we have it, it's a gift. And then we have to invite and help others. But we can fall into this, I have earned it, I deserve it. I won't give any money because I've earned my money and I deserve it, and I'm going to keep it every cent. mine. So I think when we have that attitude, we miss out on the issue of gratitude, being grateful, recognizing that we experience a lot of blessings. But a deeper point yet, and this is where we conclude, it's interesting the background for this tax. Here it is in Exodus. So the idea of taking money and supporting the temple or the tent of sanctuary goes like this. You shall take the atonement money from the Israelites, this is Moses, and shall designate it for the service of the tent of meeting. Before the Lord, it will be a reminder to the Israelites of the ransom given for your lives. Remember, the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, and they are taken out of Egypt. It's a gift. They'd earn zero. They earn nothing. They are not even a happy bunch. They are a negative bunch, grateful bunch, critiquing God all the time, and they even want to go back. We ate better back there than we do out here. It's called atonement. You shall take the atonement money. Be a reminder to the Israelites of the ransom given for your lives. That's the background to this tax. Interesting, eh? So every male was to give a half shekel for this reason, fundamentally. Because you owe God. That's the idea. Jesus says, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, atonement for us. Now, you know, there are a variety of ways of thinking about such things theologically. But the whole point is that salvation is a gift, a gift, a gift of God to you and to me. You do not earn it. You do not deserve it. Neither do I. It's all gift. Jesus gives himself for us as a ransom, he says here. So somehow in the midst of all that, God is working for you and for me, for your salvation, my salvation, so that we will know that we will be his children. It's nothing else. You know, you could give to the church $1 million a year. That won't get you into heaven. That's not the point. You can't buy your way in there. It's Jesus' work for you, his love for you. And so what we need to do is hold on to Jesus. That's it, man. Lean on him. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to him. Depend on him. Lean on him. You remember the woman with the blood flow? She is thinking, man, if I can just get close enough to just touch his garment, I will be made well. I just gotta get there and hold on for a little bit. And for you and me, it's the same thing. We need to hold on to Jesus. Just hold on to him. And then he will do his work in us, and we will know God's love for us and God's salvation in us. That's the background for this tax. So that's a pretty big gift. God's yes for you, God's yes for me. Paul writes about it this way: Jesus is the indescribable gift of God. 2 Corinthians 9:15. He is the indescribable gift. So we come back to the initial thing. How do we view God? What is your standing before God? What is mine? And the invitation is that our standing is God's love for you and for me. Paul Tillich, the great theologian, used to talk about the ground of being. The ground of being. We were talking about this at Doug's funeral this week. The ground of being. You're standing on the ground in the cemetery. The ground of being is God's love. is God's love for you and for me, and it's expressed and revealed in Jesus Christ, and that faith in him is the invitation. The invitation for you and for me, for your life and your death, my life and my death, all one. It's not two, life and death. It is one, life, death. That's going to be your experience. That's going to be my experience. Life, death, one. And the oneness is that Jesus is there for you and for me, and the ground of being is love. We are a child of the King. So that I can feel welcomed, I can feel esteemed, I can feel encouraged. His love for us. I don't know. Do you respond to that or not? You're a silent bunch today. What do you think? Does that make sense to you or not? How do you feel before God? In the moment, we can feel pretty down. We can feel rejected. We can feel discouraged. Life gets us, for all kinds of reasons, we're down. But the bigger issue is, there is God there for you and for me? We got to hold on to that. So I hope we can. Hello, how are you? Yeah. Little gone there. Will we say yes? Will we know God's yes for us? That's the invitation. I pray that this morning you will know that. You'll hang on to that. You'll be encouraged by that. Jesus, for you and for me, coming to us in this little fishing story, that is the journey of us being disciples.